ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयम् श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा। सो इन द प्रीवियस् श्लोका लक्ष्मीन्दरा स्पोक् अबौट् सत् चित् अनानन्दम् not representing or are not three different entities, but they are one swarupam. They represent the swarupam of one entity. They go hand in hand, and therefore Brahman is akandam. Brahman is without any division whatsoever. There is no division possible in Brahman. Tasmad akandeva asmi vijahat jagatim bhidham. Therefore I am akandam. I am Akhanda Vastu, I am Sachidanandam, I am Akhanda Vastu, who stands beyond the dualities of the world. So, the differences that we see in the world, that is pierced through, that is broken by me, who stands beyond them, who stands above them, is what Lakshmidhara said. So, in the next shloka, Lakshmidhara says that the Mahavakya, the various Mahavakyas that are there, the meaning of the Mahavakya is explained very in simple terms, that I am Brahman. That is being explained here. So this shloka is a, the 26th shloka is a sort of Mahavakya Vivaranam, a brief explanation of Mahavakya. So as we know, Mahavakyas are four, based on the Veda. So Rig Veda has the Mahavakya of Prajnanam Brahma, as found in Aitareya Upanishad, or Prajnanam Brahma, consciousness is Brahman. And then we have in Sama Veda, in Chandogya Upanishad, we have the Mahavakya of Tattvamasi. You are that Brahman. And then we have in the Yajurveda, in the Shukla Yajurveda, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we have the Mahavakya of Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman. Vamadeva's experience, in Shushiv experience, that I am Brahman. Or Vamadeva contemplated and then got the experience. And then the last is from the Mandukya Upanishad in the Atharva Veda, which says, I am Atma Brahma. This Atman is Brahman. So all these Mahavakyas have different terms in them. And these Mahavakyas try to show the oneness. It's not identity, but oneness between two entities. So those two are the most important entities while analyzing anything. So though Vedanta speaks about three entities, which is Ishvara, Jagat and Jiva. Isha Jiva Yor Vesha Dhibida. Ramana Maharshi says that Ishvara and Jiva have no difference and Jagat is Mithya. Or Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. So Ishvara, Jiva and Jagat, those are the three terms that we have. So Jagat, obviously we know Jagat is changing, anityama sukham lokam, therefore Jagat is unreal. Therefore we can rule out Jagat from our analysis. So what is this analysis for? This analysis is for understanding as to what is real. This analysis, analysis, sorry, analysis. What is the right word? I forgot now. Analysis, right? Or okay, analysis. Okay. So this analysis is in order to figure out as to what is real, in order to figure out what can give us happiness, in order to gain true knowledge. So each and every minute we are striving for that true knowledge. True knowledge is something which is very rare. True knowledge is something which is very sought out. True knowledge is something which we really want. Not we, everybody wants true knowledge, because knowledge is power. We know the ancient or age-old saying, knowledge is power. So knowing or trying to know about Ishvara, Jiva and Jagat, the essence of this entire world, or this entire world itself. So the worldly analysis can be split into these three. Oh, then Shankara has said that Drug Drishya are the two entities. Yes, Shankara says that because he equates this Jiva with Brahman. And that's why he says there are only two entities here. Shankara assumes that we know that, at least that much we know, that the consciousness which pulsates inside us is Brahman. And therefore he makes such claims. So anyway, we don't know that. So anyway, at least for this analysis, let's consider that we don't know that. So we have Brahman or Ishvara, and then Jiva and Jagat. Jagat is ruled out, and then we have Ishvara and Jiva. So Ishvara and Jiva, if we consider Ishvara and Jiva, these both, like Ishvara and Jiva, are very diverse in nature. So if we think about the nature of Ishvara and Jiva, both are opposites. Ishvara knows everything. Jiva doesn't know anything. So Ishvara is, generally two qualities are associated with Ishvara. One is Sarvajnyatvam, all-knowing nature, and Sarvavyapitvam, or all-pervasiveness. So whereas with respect to Jiva, the Jiva always has limited knowledge. We are testimony to that. We have very limited knowledge. Whatever we think we know, we have very limited knowledge. Even after we learn a lot of things, we'll still have a lot of things to know. That's why knowledge has no bounds, knowledge has no limits. Until the day we will be still learning. All these statements are made because of that. So we'll keep on learning. So knowledge, Jiva's knowledge level is very limited. So Jiva has Alpajnana, or Alpajnani Jiva is. And with respect to pervasiveness, with respect to space, Jiva is limited. Jiva has a 150 pound or 200 pound or 60 kilo, 100 kilo body, which has maximum of 6 feet tall, and maybe 2 or 3 feet or 6 feet in width as well. So that is what a Jiva has. So Jiva is Alpavyapi. So Ishvara is Sarvajnani, Sarvavyapi, whereas Jiva is Alpajnani, Alpavyapi. So along with this Sarvajnani, Jnanatvam and Sarvavyapitvam comes Anandam as well. So Ishvara is blissful, Ishvara is happy, whereas Jiva is suffering. So how do we know Ishvara is happy? Oh, Ishvara's representatives, even in Swarga, they are very happy. Even though they face trouble and all, they are very happy. And even if we consider Devas are a stripped down version of Ishvara, we can say. So Devas have some kind of sorrow in between when Asuras, all of a sudden they come up and then they vanish. So it's like Osama bin Laden, all of a sudden coming up, springing up and then vanishing. So if we consider it that way, then like let's go a little higher. Vishnu, what Vishnu? Vishnu is considered as one of the the trinities or Trimurtis. So Vishnu is ever happy, we know that. Whenever the Devas go to him for help, he'll be enjoying Palkadal, milk ocean, a very, very proper bed in the form of the snake, and then Lakshmi Devi, the beautiful Lakshmi Devi, along with him. And then two bhatas, two people outside his house to ensure that nobody disturbs him. So what more can a person ask for? What more does a person need? Ishvara is always happy. And if that is not enough, then people who have realized masters who are at the state of Ishvara, Ishvaratvam, like Yukteswar Giri. So Yukteswar Giri, we can see that Yukteswar Giri does a lot of miracles. He doesn't say like Mahatmas, whenever they do miracles, they don't want people to cling on to these miracles. Therefore, they will ensure that they cover it up. So cover up. So we talk about cover up in politics and other places. There are cover ups in Mahatma as well. They cover up. They'll cover up. Like when you go to Amma and say, Amma, I have this problem. I have a lot of headache. And Amma will immediately, okay, my dear son, my dear daughter, take this vibhuti and put it on your forehead daily. It will go. Oh, within 2 days, gone. They said the vibhuti is normal. The vibhuti doesn't have any part in it. The vibhuti is not what is doing it. What is doing it is the Mahatma Sankalpa. The very Sankalpa of Vishwamitra created the Trishangu Swargam. So it is Sankalpam. Kaman yaha kamayate manyamanaha sa kamabir jayate tatra tatra. So even for a worldly person, Mundaka Upanishad says that a person who desires something, he'll become that desire. Then what to speak about a jnani? Yam yam lokam manasa sambhibhati vishuddha sattvah kamayate yamscha kaman tam tam lokam jayate tamscha kamanscha tasmat atmajnyam hi archet bhutikamah. So whatever lokas and whatever desires a atmajnani, a person who is one with Ishvara, he has in his mind, that will become, or that those lokas, those desires will be fulfilled. And therefore, bhutikamaha, a person who has worldly desires, atmatnyam hi archet, archana, surrender onto such a jnani, such a mahatma, and the desires of a worldly person will get fulfilled, is what Mundaka Upanishad says. So that's what Amma does. So that is what Paramahamsa Yogananda, in his book Autobiography of a Yogi, he says about the time when he had to face a lot of trouble, or he was supposed to face a lot of trouble. Yukteswar Giri tells him to wear a sacred bangle, and then like he wears it and then it negates. So, and he knows, Paramahamsa Yogananda knows, that it has nothing to do with the bangle, it's the Guru's Sankalpa. But the Guru doesn't want others to believe in these miracles. So the Guru wants people to not get deluded into these siddhis. Therefore, he gives or he covers it up. So such covering up happens. So anyway, these Mahatmas are one with Ishvara because they are able to do things at will. Very easily, when Moses went and stood in front of the sea and said, let the sea split into two, the sea split into two. How is that possible unless such a person is one with Ishvara? Only Ishvara can do that. Only Ishvara can do that. Nobody else can do it. Oh, you know, Moses is considered as a prophet. He is not one with Ishvara. A prophet, Ishvara works through a prophet. If Ishvara works through a prophet, who works there really? Ishvara works there. So it is Ishvara. Even if we consider from the Christianity perspective, it's still Ishvara who works there, not the person. So in the same way, if we can see in all Mahatmas, Ishvara as knowing everything, Ishvara as being able to do things at will. Whereas for us, in order to fulfill just one meager desire, it requires a lot of effort, lot of other factors are there, and it is not very easy. Even the smallest thing of preparing a tea, many people don't know to prepare even tea. So preparing a tea itself requires a lot of effort, and at times it will be good, at times it will be bad. But with these Mahatmas, whenever they do something, every time it will be perfect, it will be proper. There's nothing wrong there. So when Krishna advised Arjuna, there was no confusion there. Krishna doesn't create any confusion. Oh, what about the various interpretations of Gita that people say? Some say that karma is important, some say bhakti, some say jnanam, some say yoga, some say that Krishna spoke about Sankhya and yoga, so he is not speaking Vedanta, but he is speaking the other darshanas. All those are our misinterpretations, our misconceptions. Even, oh, you are talking because you are an Advaitin and you have learned Shankara Bhashyam. Even if we don't learn Shankara Bhashyam, even if we just go by the Sanskrit word by word meaning that is there in Gita, we will have to come to the conclusion that Krishna had no confusion. So in many places he says in simple terms, we don't have to learn Shankara Bhashyam. Rarely people do read Shankara Bhashyam to understand Gita. Because even without that you can understand, it's very simple. Oh, then why has Paramartha explained 24 series? Okay, Paramartha's way of explanation is that he goes into detail. Each shloka as to what is the context with examples and all those he explains. Therefore, he has explained 24 series. That doesn't mean that Gita is so complex. Gita is the simplest scripture that can be there. Anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvama. How much more clear can Krishna be? Anityam asukam lokam. Imam anityam asukam lokam. Imam this anityam asukam lokam. This temporary sorrowful world. Prapya, having attained. Bhajasva maam, maam bhajasva. Worship me, seek me. How much more simple can Krishna be? It's very simple. There is no confusion there. Confusion scope is not there. Only when we try to interpret that nityatvam or temporariness and say it is temporary, empirically it is temporary, but ultimately it is real. Or ultimately it is unreal and empirically it is temporary. When we try to put our views into it, that is when confusion gets created. So when we see an idol or a picture, everything is fine as long as we see the picture as it is. But the moment we see the picture and we try to interpret it from our own perspective, so when we listen to a music, we don't listen to it as such. If we are able to just accept the music, then we will be getting bliss whether a person sings it well or not. Of course, if a person sings it very bad, then also we will get bliss because we will run away from the place. But what happens when we try to put our views into it? If the person sings well, so we'll say, oh, he sings very well. Oh, he sings, I think he sings like that person. Oh, I think he sings like this person. He sings like the great Tyagaraja. Oh, he sings like Muthuswami Dikshita. Oh, he sings like Tansen or Tansen's Guru Haridas. And all those we'll put in. And that is when confusion gets created. And then we'll go to our friend and say, oh, you know that person, he sings like Tansen. Oh, I don't think so. I don't agree. Nobody can sing like Tansen. What are you telling? What are you? Are you joking? And like if it is a bad, then like what will happen? We'll sit there and comment on it. It is very bad. He sang very bad. You know, even a donkey can sing better than him. So all those, when we put our view, when we put our opinion into something, that is when confusion gets created. So that is why Sri Sri Ravi Shankar says that acceptance, accept people as they are. Accepting people as they are is something, it's a great power, it's a great quality. So that is possible only for a spiritual seeker who knows that everything is an illusion in Ishvara, who knows that everything is one Ishvara. So such acceptance is impossible, very tough. So even Amma speaks about acceptance. Accepting people as they are is something which is very vital in everything. So in ancient times, in marriages used to last for a long period of time. So that is why is that? That's because there was acceptance. So people used to accept others as they are, not add their own opinions, judgments. They used to accept their partners as they are. Everybody has problems, so but they will accept the problems of the partners. Today, such acceptance is not there because we are in a society where acceptance is always the last virtue that is taken up. So when somebody does something wrong, immediately pointing it out. Of course, we'll say like, why are you pointing out the mistake? Oh, it's for the other person to learn. Okay, well and good, but then remember that tomorrow that person also will give you something to learn. Can you accept it? No, I cannot. Oh, I'm not going to talk with him. Why? Because he criticized me. So that is what will happen with the other person as well. So if we are ready to give something, we should be ready to accept something as well. So if not, just remain silent. There is nothing wrong. Everybody has their own limitation. Limitations are always there. We have to go by the limitations. So there are two ways to handle it. One is just stay away from it. Okay, I don't like them. I am not interested in movies. So I'm okay. You guys go ahead. Like I'll sit at home. It's the simplest way, easiest way. You don't have to say anything. Like you have to just say I'll stay at home. It's fine. Else, what will happen? We have to go to the movie and then criticize and all those. So instead of criticism, just stay away from the person. Stay away from the person as much as possible and then accept him. Try to accept him. If not, stay away. Try to get rid of such judgments. So that is what we have to. This acceptance is something which is very, very rare to get. So these Mahatmas, they are able to accept everybody as one because everything is one. Ishvara. So Ishvaratvam, they are in the state of Ishvara. So they can create everything. And they can also accept everything as it is. So whereas Jiva's views are very limited. So such acceptance is possible only if from a person who has a broad heart or a broad mind. So, and as Sri Ravishankar says, it's a global mind. It's not a limited mind. It's a global mind. The mind becomes universal. So such a universal mind alone can accept everything. So that is another difference we can say. So limitation. So, here Lakshmi Dara talks about two qualities with respect to Jiva and Ishvara. And the two qualities are, in other words, he is speaking about just the limitation of the Jiva. So, Jiva and Ishvara. So, Jiva is Aham. Ishvara or Brahman is what we call as Tat. So, this Aham, when we try to analyze this Aham itself before we enter into Lakshmi Dara's work. So, if we try to analyze this Aham, in fact, like this Aham, if we try to really analyze this Aham, we'll be able to find out that this Aham is very pure. This Aham is not something which has, which is an Alpajnani and which is Alpavyapi. So the Alpavyapi and Alpajnani aspect of Aham is only when the Aham thinks that it is related to the world, it is related to objects and people. So remove all those limitations, remove all those, remove the world, in simple words, remove the world or okay, I can't remove the world. But I've been trying. Whatever you have said, like I don't want to attend your classes again, because I figured out that I tried to negate this world and it was remove this world. It was impossible. So removing this world here doesn't mean removing the world. It is just removing the association with the world. The world which doesn't even exist. How can you remove it? You cannot remove. That's why Gaudapada says. The world exists, it will vanish. Don't worry, it will definitely vanish. How do you know it will vanish? Because it doesn't even exist, my dear friend. It doesn't even exist. At some point of time, it has to vanish. That which doesn't exist will have to vanish. It cannot seem, it cannot appear to be existing always. So it will definitely vanish, don't worry. So, this world which doesn't exist, we cannot remove it. We can only remove the association with it. So that is what we have to do. And Once we do that, like once we remove the association with the world, we will find, we will be able to realize that this I, this aham, or whatever is denoted by this aham, is not the limited I, but this aham is that which is very close. So that which is very close, or so close that it is one with like unlimited consciousness that pulsates inside us. So there is an I which says that I am there. There is an I which is unspoken, which doesn't speak anything, which just is there. It's like two people, one who cries out and one who doesn't say anything. One who cries out, obviously, like one who cries out a lot, it'll be a fake, whereas a person, a maunam or silence is a real virtue. A true master will never speak unless he has to speak, whereas an ajnani will always try to speak because an ajnani wants to speak, wants to show off to the world. So this aham, this speaking aham, which says aham, is not real aham. There is a unspoken, there is a silent aham inside us at all times, and that is what we experience during deep sleep as well. Or if we are able to do a little bit of mana, chitta vritti nirodhanam, if we are able to do a little bit of meditation, trying to negate the thoughts of the mind, we will be able to experience the pulsating I, the sphurti, that which is there inside us, and that I is one with Brahman. So why is that I one with Brahman? Because that I is not related to the body, that I is not related to the mind, that I is not related to the intellect, that I is not related to the world. So world or body, mind, intellect, all these are limitations. So if those limitations are not there, then the internal I is infinite, unlimited. So alpa vyapitum vanishes. And does that I know everything? Definitely it knows everything. What does it know? It knows Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman is the essence of everything. So sarvajnanitvam doesn't necessarily mean that we have to know each and everything that is happening in this world. It will not happen. But it is knowing the essence of the world. So it is like telling, oh no, Mahatmas, they are able to know everything. Okay, fine, what is the use of knowing everything in the world? They can fulfill wishes, they can create things, objects, out of thin air. Okay, wait, my dear friend. So in dream, we have a dream in which we try to control things. So we know everything that is happening in dream. One person is there who knows everything that happens in dream. Another person is there who doesn't know everything that happens in dream. But both know that dream world is unreal. So if you know dream world is unreal, then why should you know each and everything in the dream world? You don't have to. Only a fool will do. Okay, this doesn't mean Mahatmas are fools. Mahatmas do it for a different purpose. Their purpose is different. But a sadhaka should never strive to achieve that state of Ishwaratvam with respect to the world. A sadhaka should strive to achieve Brahman, not Ishwara, who controls this world. So we don't have to know this world. We know the world in its essence. So this Sphurti I is unlimited. Unlimited means as we saw in the last day, unlimited means it is Sachidanandam, which Lakshmidara has proved again and again. So this unlimited Sachidanandam is Brahman as well. Brahman is also Sachidanandam. Aham asmi sadha bhami kada jitna aham apriyah. Brahmaivahamatasiddham Sachidananda Lakshanam. So I am Sachidanandam, Brahman is Sachidanandam, therefore I am Brahman. So what is Brahman? Brahman is unlimited. Brahman is infinite. And that is what these Mahavakyas tell us. These Mahavakyas prove to us that this I that pulsates inside us, or this I, there is an ego I which says things, which does things, which is associated with everything, and there is one which is just a sakshi, which is just a witness. So that is the true I. When that true I is veiled, when that true I is forgotten, this unreal I springs up. saying that it is true, saying that it is real, and thereby deludes us. So, parokshata paricheda shabalya poha nirmalam tadasiti giralakshyam aham ekarasam mahah. So, aham, I am nirmalam, I am pure, without any malam, without any impurity, I am pure. So, purity, like I am very pure. How am I very pure? Because everything, impurities are removed. So, impurities means impurities are infinite. So, here Lakshmi Dara says impurities with respect to parokshata parichedam. So, parichedam one is limitation and parokshata. So, parokshata means a kind of a distance. So, a distance. Distanceness or something like that. So many of us would have experienced a kind of distanceness from ourselves. So at times we'll feel disappointed with our lives. So at that time we'll feel that, oh, I am something kind of different. I am very different from my own nature. I am very distanced from myself. I don't even know something. I don't know why I am here. So all those questions show a kind of distance. So because this aham, ahankaram, and the real I are so distanced. So that of course, like so distance means it is so near as well. Tadhure tatu antike, very distant yet very distant yet very near. So it's a thin line between both, but that thin line becomes very big, appears to be very big. So that distanceness is not really there. So this parokshata or distanceness from the sphuranam I, or in other words, distanceness from Brahman or Anandam is not there. Such a limitation, such a condition, such a... So shabalyam means conditions. So such conditions of parokshata or distanceness, Tejomiyananda translate as remoteness, as well as parichedam, limitation, is not there for me. So when these are purified, these are removed, chabalya, apoha nirmalam, apoha means negation, removing. So when these conditions are removed, when this parokshata, distantness or distance from the real I, and limitation, the limitations that are there part of this ahankaram or the jiva are removed, then, so that means like alpavyapi and alpajnani, sarvavyapi and sarvajnani. So what is which differentiates both jnanam and space, akasham? So remove jnanam and akasham. Jnanam of what? Jagat. Jagat itself is unreal. So where is jnanam? Jnanam is gone. Space. What is space? Space is also unreal because space comes out of the Atman. So there is nothing called space. Remove space, then what will happen? There is no difference. Both become one. Both are equated, or oneness is established. So in the same way, parokshata, parichedam, remove. When these are negated, how can these be negated? This can be negated by the knowledge that I am not distant. I am aparoksham. Aparokshanubhavam. So, aparoksha anubhavam is always there. Like I am, I have experience, intuitive experience of myself. Aparoksham, paraaksham. Paraaksham means through a different I. Aparoksham means not through a different I, through ourselves, which means we are that I. We do experience that I every time. When somebody, like at times, so that's why for a sadhaka it is easy. During many times, immediately this I will spring up, that real I will spring up. Of course, ideally speaking, the ego I should spring up at times whenever required in order to perform worldly activities. But the situations have changed, the tides are changed. Therefore, it is the real I that springs up at times. So, at times during intense sadhana, during bhajan, during listening, shravanam, mananam, etc., the real I will spring up. So when the real I springs up, so we do experience it as I, without anything. So I am there. There is nothing like I so and so is there. I am there. So that experience is there at times. So it's a matter of experience. We can experience it. So when these are removed through jnanam, that I am, I don't have any of these, as Lakshmidhara has proved till now. I don't have any change. I am not these limitations, impurities, etc. are just an illusion in me. They are not real. They are just temporary. And at that time, I become very nirmalam, without any impurity. When I am without any impurity, at that time, I tadasi iti gira lakshyam. So I become that one entity which is denoted by gira. Gira means words, scriptural statements like tadasi iti. You are that. Such statements, lakshyam. So that which is indicated, that which is the subject matter of those statements, that I realize myself to be that I. Or in words, Lakshmidhara is here saying that I am that I. Once purified, I am one with that subject, which that oneness indicated through these Mahavakyas. And ekarasam. So ekarasam means like one essence. I am not many, it is just one rasam. So rasam, many people interpret this rasam or as rasa, leela, etc. So rasam here just means that it is anandam, one, and then it is not many. So rasam or essence cannot be many. So when we talk about a juice, so there will be some essence in it. There will be many essences and many things added to it. When we talk about the essence will be just one. Essence cannot be many. So eka rasam, I am just one essence. That one essence which is there, which is the basis of everything, or we can relate to the previous shloka as the one essence, one swarupam, that akanda vastu. I am that, and mahaha, I am mahaha. So, in order to remove any doubt as to what is indicated through the Mahavakya, so till now Lakshmidhara said, I am the subject matter of the Mahavakya, I am devoid of limitations. But then what is my nature? That has to be explained. So there can be confusion with respect to that. The nature itself can go, yeah, I agree, like you are one, I am indicated by those, but like I am Jadam. So therefore he says Mahaha. Mahaha means it's a consciousness, Chaitanyam. So I am consciousness, I am Chaitanyam. And that Chaitanyam, which is Ekarasam, that Chaitanyam which is the subject matter of the Mahavakyas. So in the Mahavakyas, if we remove those limitations, conditions, adjuncts are removed, then the aham becomes one with Brahman. So Ishva Jivayor Vesha Dhibidha Sat Swabhavato Vastu Kevalam Veshahanata Isha Darshanam Swatma Darshanam Veshahanata Swatma Darshanam Isha Darshanam Swatma Rupatah. So Ishvara and Jiva, the difference is Vesha Dhibhidha. Vesham, with respect to their form, all pervasive, huge form, small form. Dhibhidha, Di means with respect to Jnanam, that is the difference. Satswabhavatah Vastu Kevalam. Vastu is Kevalam. There is only one entity when we talk about Satswabhavatah, when their essence. Speaking about their essence of existence, there is only one. So Veshahanata Swatma Darshanam. So get rid of this form, your form. So this doesn't mean, okay, Ishvara and Jiva, the difference is with form. Then let me try to remove the form of Ishvara. That is foolish. Ishvara is somewhere. So why remove the form of Ishvara when we can remove the form of ourselves that we are very close with now? So we are very close with the Ahankaram. So remove the form of Ahankaram. And then Swatma Darshanam, when we get a vision of our own self, the I, the Swaranam I, which doesn't have any form, which doesn't have any dhi, then what will happen? That is Isha Darshanam, Swatma Rupatah. That is Ishvara's Darshan, Ishvara has one's own nature. So that's why some later Acharyas say Ishvara himself is one illusion like Jiva. So Ishvara is Brahman. So when when limitations are removed, when the conditions are removed from Ishvara and Jiva, what remains behind is Sakshi and Brahman, or Brahman, one itself. There is only one. So such distinctions are only with respect to the conditions. Remove the conditions, there will be only one person existing. So the examples of a person acting as a father, mother, Vidyaranya gives this example in the second or the fourth chapter of, I forgot which chapter, I think fourth chapter of Panchadashi, that a person is a father and a grandfather, or a person is a son and a grandson with respect to father and grandfather. So I am like the son of somebody, I am the grandson of somebody. So the same person becomes two. But remove those father and grandfather, which are the conditions, then I am one alone. I am neither son nor grandson. So it is something which is caused out of that relation. It's not something real. In the same way, when we have Maya, Vidya, when there is Bhedan, then the same entity becomes Jiva and Ishvara. Remove the impurities in the Jiva. Negate this. When the notion, what in removing impurities means, negating the notion that there is duality. It's as simple as that. The Jiva, when the Jiva thinks that there is only one entity here, there is only Brahman everywhere, when the Jiva thinks that, oh, whatever exists is only Brahman. Brahmeva Jagat Sarvam, there is only Brahman here, Sarvam Brahmamayam. When the Jiva does that, then immediately difference vanishes and there is only oneness. The Jiva becomes one with Brahman. Of course, these Mahavakyas are interpreted a little deeper and all. We don't need all. It will help. Like, it may help an intellectual person. It may help an intellectually weak person to gain conviction. But it is as simple as saying, whatever is there in this world, this world has come from Ishvara. Janmadyasya yataha. This world has come from Ishvara. So if the world has come from Ishvara, they have to be one with Ishvara. So the world has to be just an illusion in Ishvara. World has to be in essence Ishvara. Then who exists? Only Ishvara. Who is that Ishvara? That Ishvara is Brahman. It is Advaitam, Advitiyam. When we think that Brahman becomes the creator, then we give a name, Ishvara. So Ishvara is Brahman with just the quality of creation, creatorhood. Remove that, it is Brahman. The same with our Jiva as well. The Jiva, remove the Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, remove the Ahankaram, remove everything from the Jiva. That's why Balakrishna often speaks about purifying this Jiva. Purify this I. So just purify this I. Nirmalam, Apoham, remove these malas. Remove the wrong notion that, okay, I have a body, I have a mind, I have association with so and so people and all those. And those are removed. And what remains behind? It's just pulsating consciousness, which is Chit, Chaitanyam. And what is that Chaitanyam? Chaitanyam is Brahman. Oh, how do you know Chaitanyam is Brahman? Prajnanam Brahma. Oh, like, I don't accept even Brahman, the term Brahman or Prajnanam and all those. Okay, if you don't accept all those, no need to accept all those. Do you accept the I? Yes, I do. And that I is unlimited, that I is blissful, that is what we say. We give a term to it, which is Brahman. So the name of Brahman is just another term. All these terms, we should never get confused with these terms. Whatever is indicated by these terms is just Advaita Madhvitiya Satyam. Whatever is indicated, that which is indicated is important, not the term. Terms are again another condition, another limitation. We don't have to go behind those limitations. We don't have to go behind those terms. Whatever is indicated by those terms, that is what is real. And that I am. So once we are able to concentrate, contemplate on this I which is the basis of everything, this I which is Advaitam, then of course it is Anandam. Then all the problems, immediately the problems of life, whatever problems like we think we are having or we might be having or we thought like we will be having, will immediately vanish. There will be no problem. Instantly problem will vanish. because problems are based on dvaitam, dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. Problems start with dvaitam, because when we think duality is real, so then bedham or differences come into existence. So when there are differences, what will happen is we will get limited. So differences always causes a kind of or sort of limitation. So limitation concept comes into existence when we think we are, there is dvaitam or bhedam. So when bhedam is there, obviously there will be some kind of limitation, because we will not know everything. So when there is duality, we can't know everything. So there will be limitation. And due to that limitation, na alpe sukham asti, there will be no sukham, there will be no happiness in that alpatvam, and therefore all problems will start. So a sadhaka should always remember, try to contemplate on these mahavakyas, on the meaning of these mahavakyas. It's not about trying to explain these mahavakyas in the best possible way. Giving discourses on mahavakyas, not that is not the purpose. The purpose is to concentrate, to contemplate on that one entity, advaitam, that is being indicated through these mahavakyas. That is the purpose, not anything else. So if we are able to do that, or when we are able to do that, then we will realize that there is anandam, that anandam is there inside us. Anandam, we don't have to seek anandam in the outside world, that anandam is there inside us itself, and we don't need anything else in this world. We'll feel content, there will be santosham, there will be happiness, there will be peace. So everything will be, or peace will be restored, as the old saying goes. So there will be peace restored inside us, and when peace is restored inside us, we'll be able to see peace everywhere outside us as well. So wherever we go, wherever we are, we'll be able to experience that peace. People around us will be able to experience that peace, and life will become very smooth. Jivita dhanyam, jividam will become dhanyam. And we can also say janma safalyam. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to contemplate on the mahavakya, that I which pulsates inside us is that one entity, one satyam, and therefore ever rejoice in bliss. We'll continue later. I'm sure.